Hey, listeners, welcome back to Eye to Eye, the weekly podcast talk show where we talk to people about their passion, flow, and creativity. And though the subject may change, the heart remains the same. I'm your host, Aaron Holman, and our guest today is...
Patrick LeDunnis.
Patrick, I'm happy you were able to be with us today. Patrick, welcome to Eye to Eye, a podcast where we're going to talk to you about your passion, your flow, and creativity. So just to start things off, let our listeners know a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm an Atlanta-based content creator, producer, writer, all of that fun stuff. And I'm a Gemini. I love horror movies, and I am very passionate about giving back to the community. I love to do motivational speaking and mentoring.
Wow.
And I'm learning how to cook in quarantine in this whole pandemic. So that's a positive thing.
Yes, it is. I think it is important to look at the silver lining with the things that we've been able to fill our time with in terms of educating ourselves. What's been your favorite thing you've cooked recently?
Peanut butter bread.
Yes, I love that. High in protein. I love peanut butter. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I found it on Pinterest. It was something that they used back in the 1800s or something like that. And they were like, they used it because it didn't require a lot. And because of the wars that was going on, people didn't have much stuff. So I felt a little nostalgic. And I was like, well, I have food, but I want to see what it's like to just use the bare minimum. And I made it with three ingredients, and it turned out really good, really well, surprisingly.
Food is very surprising in that aspect of, it really is just a matter of a couple of things, and you'd be surprised the amount of stuff you can make out of three ingredients.
Right.
Patrick, like you said, you're a producer, content creator, screenwriter, and now you can add actor to that too as well, because you're starring in your web series, Scales. Can you tell us about that project?
Sure. Scales, of course, it's a digital series, web series, however you want to ping it. It's really about this guy who's drawn to complicated people and relationships and all the chaos around him, which is Remy Howard, which is your central protagonist that I play. And it is, you know, I feel like it's an original series, but I would say that when I was creating the show, there were two shows in particular that was definitely, well, three shows in particular that had some influence around it, which would be Queer as Folk, which I loved when it was on Showtime.
Yes.
Noah's Ark, which ran on Logo for two seasons. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, Insecure on HBO by Issa Rae. She sort of got me motivated to want to create my own content and web series type of thing.
What did the creation process of Scales look like? When did this become a thought in your head?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Aaron, because it came out of sort of horrific situation. But in August of 2017, while I was in Barcelona, there was a terrorist attack that happened in Barcelona. I was in the middle of the terrorist attack. It happened literally right in the streets of where we were. Ooh. So it was kind of one of those things where my best friend and I had been talking, because this was like day seven of the trip that we'd been there. And we'd been talking about things that we love. And I was like, you know, I used to make films in college and all this stuff. I was like, I think I would like to do that. But, you know, we always put things off. And after that incident, my best friend, Chris, he was like, we could have been killed. And you keep talking about, you know, you only have one life to live. And so that evening, because the city was kind of on lockdown for 24 hours, I think it was like 24 hours, 48 hours, the city was on lockdown. I had my MacBook, went to my room, scared to death because we didn't know what else was going to happen. Yeah. And I started just writing. And I was writing this story because initially Remy Howard, his name was Henry. So Henry was trying to balance a relationship that he had based on some experiences of stories that I had experienced in my youth, as well as what my best friend had experienced, because this was day seven in the trip. So we talk and share, reflect, and you know, about relationships and stuff. And I started using that into my writing, and I was like, what is a good title for a guy that has his two best friends trying to juggle every single thing? And I said, well, what's the one thing that is going to connect everyone to it? I said, a scale. Because if you look at it, Aaron, we use a scale to weigh our foods. That determines how much it's going to cost. We get on a scale to tell us whether we're healthy, how much we weigh. But the one thing that we don't have a scale for is our heart. And sometimes our heart outweighs our logic. And I was like, this is going to be called scales, because it's a guy, he thinks with his heart. He never really thinks with his logic. And he just reacts to everything and everyone around him.
You know, hearing you say that, Patrick, it is so easy to see that now, because I have enjoyed the series over the past couple of weeks. I've been watching it and it is very, very enjoyable. But that makes sense, because it does seem like each individual person that comes into Remy's life does bring something new that he has to find balance in. What a wonderful name. How do you go about outlining the script? I know now we know where the source of it came from, which was a fantastic way to channel that energy, especially that time that you had to be trapped in the room. But how do you go about writing like a literal episode? What does developing that look like? Because I'm not a writer at all. And so I don't know what the creation process of writing is like.
For me, it comes a lot easier because my undergrad is in English. I was an English major. And so, you know, you have the beginning, middle, and the end. So, of course, when I was outlining the show, even in my hotel room, I knew where Henry, now Remy's journey is going to end. Like, I know how the series will end. So it was the exciting parts of how do we get Remy to this end. And so because I knew where I was trying to take him, I knew that I'd be able to, in the beginning, we're going to, of course, have him reflecting on past love and relationships and having him sort of in this, we're going to establish that he never seems to finish what he starts. Hence, he was going for the run and the friends are like, are you still trying to go on that run that you've been talking about forever? Mm-hmm. Because Remy is this awkward, but he gets it together with his work life. So I was like, that's going to be his beginning story. The middle piece would be, we'll have this struggle of him trying to grow. Mm-hmm. And that would, I think people see a little bit of that in season three, but you see it as well. You kind of see it in season two.
With the career jump, you definitely see that.
Yes. See that, Aaron, you come. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. with the career jump. So that was going to be a part of the growth and then taking it to the next level. So I had those kind of mapped out when I was sort of etching out the story. And then on the flight back, it's a 9-hour flight. So I, of course, was able to kind of tighten it up, write a little bit more story, establish who these other characters were going to be in the story, as well as making sure that the story is rich in diversity as well, because that was really important to me. So I had to make sure that these characters represented what the world looks like today.
I can see that the effort has been made for that with the plots that you've got going on. There were a couple in there that I really did not see coming. I'm not going to talk about it in depth very much. I'm going to encourage you to go watch Scales on YouTube while it's available there. And the plot line you had with Gloria in season two, that blew me away. Kevin's and Dakota's sister, the older sister.
Yes.
That was very moving and unexpected for me. But that was where I found a lot of relatability. I have somebody that I know who is going through, and they are doing everything that they can to overcome it every day. And your character encouraged her with a lot of positive mindset, which I found very, very relatable. It's often the only thing that I can give, you know, my friend, is just the support and love, you know, that we will make it through this. It's meant to be, you will be fine. Very, very good stuff, your show. I've really enjoyed it as it's continued to gain in depth. Tell me about working with Shirley Norman. She played Sheila, and she also directs a vast portion of the show.
Well, I will tell you, what's so special about Scales is that before we started making Scales, we were all total strangers.
Really?
So
no way.
We were, yes, we were all total strangers. And now we're like family.
I would have assumed some of you had been friends for a very long time.
Not even. So what happened, Shirley and I, we were both in a play that didn't take off. And so what happened, I told her, I says, you know, this thing just happened to me in Barcelona. I've written the script. My best friend is like, you can't just write this and not do anything with it. I think I'm going to make it happen. And I was like, would you be interested? And literally she didn't know. She was just like, maybe. And so I gave her the script. And that same day she called me and she says, I'm in. And she says, do you mind, can I direct or whatever? I said, sure. And coincidentally, she is a University of Southern California graduate. She's graduated from there within their MFA program. She had directed a couple of things. And I was like, yes, this is perfect. Yeah. And so then when I said, well, I have a character that I think you would also be great for. Her name is Sheila. And she's like, oh, I love acting too. She's like, if you trust me to do both, let's do it. And again, I knew to this, and I knew I wanted that diversity, not just behind the camera, you know, in front of the camera, but behind it as well. So I was like, yes, we need a female and an African-American female person to direct this. And what better person to do that than my newfound friend who has become like a sister to me, Shirley. Mm-hmm. So that's the story.
She absolutely blew me away. From the first time that she stepped onto the screen, I instantly said, there's my character. I love her. And you know what? I have really enjoyed watching her. And then, like, I understand that fight with her and Caleb and everything. I was like, I was on her side. So she did a wonderful job of executing that. How did you go about building the rest of the team? Where did you find the other members of the people who joined on?
Well, Aaron, it is so like something out of maybe a 90s movie starring Ashton Kutcher, I guess. But I posted something on Production Hub looking for a director of photography, the cinematographer basically. Mm-hmm. And Zane Jiwani, he responded and was like, I think I'm interested. He's like, but I need to see the script. Because when I was, of course, creating this series that, you know, there's the queer representation, LGBTQ+, I wanted to make sure that I didn't have someone bringing any kind of negative energy or someone that may have their own perception of, oh, I don't want to do this or whatnot. And so he read the script and he called me. It was like maybe midnight. And it was Zane, and he says, hey man, and he kind of reminds you of a Keanu Reeves. Mm-hmm. He said, hey man, I love the script and I'm on board. I want to shoot it. I'm in. I'm 100% in. And so we met for coffee at Starbucks, and we met there, and he brought a friend of his who had just returned from Israel. He had spent 6 years working on a documentary over in Israel. Wow. Showed him the script and was like, hey, he's back in the States. He's a camera guy too. We met and we were at the Starbucks for hours talking. And you would have thought we had known each other forever. And it's sort of like there, that friendship was formed. And then, you know, with Shirley, Jacob, and Zane. And ethnicities really isn't important, but I just think the beauty of scales is that Shirley, who's, like I said, is an African Black woman. Then you have Zane, who is Pakistani and Indian. Mm-hmm. He's mixed. And then you have Jacob, who's Jewish, and you have the four of us at this table. And it's such a beautiful thing because this is what the world is and what the world looks like. So I love that. And that's how exactly it's a beautiful collaboration. And each person adds something so special to the production and to just scales itself. And that's where the behind the scenes team were formed. Then after that, because again, my corporate life, I work in HR, so I knew I wanted something very structured. So I rented out this audition space at this high rise in downtown Atlanta. And I set up having audition, very specific. And we had about 400 people.
Oh my goodness. Was that over in one day?
That's what I, yes. And I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have.
How's there enough what's time? Happening?
So there were 400 people interested, and I was like, okay, this is overwhelming, but it's amazing because, again, Atlanta at the time back in 2017, you know, Atlanta was getting that reputation for being the Hollywood of the South. So people were jumping on board, and we started screening people. We scheduled, so we used 3 weekends to audition people. Wow. And we narrowed some down. Some we just said, hey, just send in a video audition or whatnot. But the cast that we collected, it was so like organic. Like the people that are now part of Scales, and I tell them, I was like, you guys beat out a lot of people wanted these particular roles that you have. And I don't think anyone else would have been able to give the type of energy that we have with each other. Because Aaron, I wish you were, if you were in Atlanta and to come on set, it's literally like, there's a show called This Is Us. I'm sure you probably heard of it.
Oh yes, definitely.
I wanted us to have that kind of feeling with each other. And we all literally have that since season one. And we email each other, text each other, we check up on each other. And it's just, it's perfect. It's really, we're really an extended family. And for me as an only child, I love being able to reach out to any of them to talk and all that good stuff. It's great.
The reason I create content like this, I love creating connection with people too. I'm happy that you've been able to find that in your work. That is very inspirational. Not everybody gets that. So kudos to you for, you know what, taking what started as inspiration in your head and making it reality. That is not easy to do. And for that, I'm going to say congratulations on all your hard work so far.
Thank you.
Something you mentioned earlier that I'd love to hear a little more about. You were mentioning that you took inspiration for some of this stuff from your personal experience and that of your friend's experience. Tell me about the real life parallels or that you're willing to disclose.
Sure, I will. I will say that in my younger years, I was dating a Sean, a doctor, who was very arrogant and just a little self-absorbed. I also, so that whole storyline, a lot of that is some real life based scenarios. Yes, the Kevin storyline is also a little bit of my own experiences as well. And then after that, oh wait, because the Ron character is also a part of a storyline for me.
Now listen, that character, I love Ron. I mean, I love him, but I don't know if I could be with him either. He seems like trouble.
Wait until you see season 3. Wait until you see
season 3. Well, I know. I saw where 2 ended, and I was real happy about that. Sean, the doctor that you've been telling me about, he's awesome. And towards the end of season 1, there was a scene with Sean and Remy where, I don't know, Sean sort of puts Remy in his place, you know, tells him what's what. And I was hooting and hollering at that. The actor that you got to play Sean, the doctor, what is his name?
His name is Bradley Candy.
He was absolutely fantastic. Please pass along those words. He's very pleasant to look at, but it's his performance that I have really, really enjoyed. He's done a very good job.
Yeah. Brad is amazing. And it's so funny, Aaron, because his acting, like we've become friends, of course, through making the series. And when we have rehearsals and he'll come on set, he jumps right into the character. And I'm like, I hate you. And then I'm like, because he just really becomes Sean. And like, even on set, the film crew, when he's on, he's on. And I literally can't wait for you all to see him in season 3 because It's a whole thing.
Can you tell us about the topic of what Scales is about and how that does relate to your personal life? What is dating like for an out gay man in Atlanta these days?
Wow.
I know.
Okay. Well, there's a lot that I can say on that. I mean, it depends on, there's definitely a lot. You have a choice, a plethora. Mm-hmm. You can choose from whatever your type is. I say that it's here. I think that you have to be very sure about what it is that you want, because you can get caught up in just a lot, because there are a lot of, you know, especially in Atlanta proper, there are like a lot of men, like a lot of men, like that song, It's Raining Men, there, you could just pick them off of a tree. There's so many. So my advice would be to someone is know who you are, of course, always know who you are, what your values are. Don't allow yourself to shift and change to be with someone just to have someone. Yeah. You know, if you're on a date and you say you don't eat ice cream, don't eat the ice cream just because this person eats ice cream. Be authentically who you are. Don't let it change you, because again, relationships can come far and few everywhere. Myself personally, I'm not on the market. I've been off the market for many years, which people are surprised by that, because they're like, but you play Remy. I'm like, yeah, my husband is cool with it.
You play Remy so convincing. Like, kudos to you. How long have you been in the relationship? You said you're married.
I am. We've been together for 18 years.
What?
And we've been married for 4 years, because we got married the year after the Supreme Court made it legal everywhere. Yes. So we got married in 2016.
Mm-hmm. That is fantastic.
We've been together for 18 years.
Okay, Patrick, how old are you then? Because I'm looking at your baby face, and I myself am 30 years old. And honestly, looking at yourself, I was assuming that you were maybe 32.
Well, I will graciously accept that, Aaron. I will.
I'm just, when you said 18-year relationship, it blew my concept.
Yeah. I am not. And I don't mind discussing age. I don't want to like mess up people's perception of Remy, but I will say that I'm definitely not your age. And I was your age, but it was a long time ago.
Well,
I'll tell you after the show how old I am.
That is fine. That is fine. Cause I just need to know what you're doing to do that. Because seriously, you are aging gracefully, and I can't see any of it at all. So except in the experience and in you know, what you're bringing to the table. Going back to your creative outlets, besides writing, what are some other places that you really enjoy finding creativity?
Outside of writing, do you mean like hobbies or listening to music?
Any of that,
or
any
traveling?
Of that. Mm-hmm. I love travel.
I love, before COVID, I mean, by now I would have gone on like 6 trips before COVID, which is driving me a little insane, but I love to travel. I love to go on the West Coast. I'm usually in LA at least 6 to 8 times a year. Mm-hmm. And then I go to New York and to Miami. Those are like my favorite spots to be in. And then my best friend and I, we go to Barcelona every year in August. Very nice. And this year will be the first year that we don't go. And we've been going for the past 10 years. So this feels a little weird. So I love to travel. I love music. Mm-hmm. Love to dance. Dua Lipa, Alina Baraz are two of my favorites. I keep them on repeat constantly. Mm-hmm. And so music, dancing, and just listening. And I read books. Mm-hmm. That helps too. And of course, I binge TV, and I will go on record to say I do love and I still watch soap operas. And I'm okay with that.
You know, I can totally sense a love for soap operas in your work. And not that it was soap opera dramatic or anything, but there was sort of a way that they would speak to each other that like cut through the nonsense, which I only really see in soap operas. You know, only in a soap opera will someone walk in and directly say, hey, this is my problem with you. And let's address it, you know? And I see that you are a fan of doing that in your work. It definitely got me hooked. So I would say keep that up.
Thank you.
You mentioned you enjoy music. Can you tell me about the music in Scales? Because that was something that I was taking note of a lot, especially like the theme song. But I was wondering how the music got there.
Sure. Now this is where your viewers are definitely going to be able to guess my age. But back in years ago, Atlanta used to be known for it was the music capital of the world. I mean, back in the 90s when you had Babyface, TLC, Usher,
very much.
That's what we had. But then it sort of went away, died down, whatever. And for me, it was the nostalgia of being able to really reintroduce that element into the show. So I went out and found a lot of independent artists, and all of these artists are local and they just haven't gotten their break yet. So I was like, if I'm independent, I'm, you know, let me feature you. I can't guarantee you anything, but I can guarantee you people will follow you on Instagram and listen to your music and see you perform. So I was because I have an ear for music, I was very intentional about the artists that I reached out to, whether it was on Instagram or by actually going to a concert and saying, hey, can I have you? This is what I'm trying to do. They're independent. And it's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And that's the whole story for how I got the music. And Violet Hughes, mm-hmm. Oh, that's the Scales. That's the name. That's the Scales theme song. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great song, and it's one that like I have on repeat, you know, now. Like I enjoy it so much. So you really just got out there and made it happen. Like just some hard work on the pavement, like I'm going to get this done. That is so admirable because I mean, people will create millions of roadblocks to stop themselves from creating. How do you deal with any sort of writer's block or any of those walls that you ever faced while creating Scales? How do you manage pushing through those hard moments?
I have to say, as cheesy as it may sound, music, and you were actually going into, you're actually literally everything you just said, Aaron, was the lyrics to one of my favorite songs by Mariah Carey, Make It Happen.
Yes.
You know, she says, if you believe within yourself, just hold on tight and don't let go. Whenever I'm feeling stressed or whatever, I play Mariah Carey. Like I'm an official lamb. And again, reference to age, I've been rocking with Mariah since June 19th. 1990 when A Vision of Love first dropped. Very That's nice. Letting you know it was
very nice
30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But whenever I feel like that, I keep going back to what my purpose is. And I feel like my purpose is that just like your show, 50 to 60 years from now, when I probably won't be on this earth, but there's a legacy that we as content creators we're leaving behind for that next generation to discover. Someone will discover Scales. Yeah. Someone will discover your platform and be like, oh, wow, this is cool. Look at what they were doing back in the day. Yeah. And for any persons that are coming after us that are, you know, identifying as queer or whom, whatever, hopefully labels won't even matter by then. They'll say, this was amazing. Look at what these people were creating back then. So anytime I feel like I want to stop, I then go back to, I'm thinking about what I want the legacy of Patrick LaDonis to be. And I just pop out of it and pull ahead. Mm-hmm. And that's what I keep doing.
That makes a lot of sense. I think back to the AIDS crisis of the 80s and the 90s. And, you know, the generation of our ancestors, our predecessors who came before us, who did not get to leave their stories. And so, you know, anything that we can do to contribute to the pantheon of LGBT queer art, you know, I think it's important. And I think that your show is doing some amazing things. I would love to know about the future of Scales, because I believe I've done a little bit of research and season 3 will be coming out soon, but you are working with an online service. Is it Reverie? Can you tell us about that?
It is. Yes, I can. Reverie is actually, I really look at it, it's a startup because it's only been, I think, around for maybe 4 or 5 years, but it's gained major traction. It's got programs on their network already with Whoopi Goldberg, Laura Linney. It's this growing thing. So the fact that they were even interested in my content, want it to be on there, I was like, wow, this is amazing. And Reverie is now in over 200 million homes. It's the largest global LGBTQ plus streaming network.
Wow.
And because they have a Damian Pelliccioni, who's one of the founders, they had a passion. You know, I watched interviews that he gave, and I made scales off of passion. And when you have that passion for it, that means you'll give your all. And that's what I gathered from his interview, and Christopher Rodriguez and Aaliyah J. Daniels, LaShawn McNair, all the people that made Reverie, they led with a passion in them. And it's four of them. And there's four of us from Scales that made Scales, the four team. I was like, it's meant to be. And I love what that represents and the content that's on Reverie. And actually Scales will, seasons one and season two will actually be on Reverie starting Friday.
Wow.
July 3rd.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And season three, which we started filming season three already in the pandemic. We went back to work May 30th, mm-hmm. and we will wrap season three on July 18th, mm-hmm. 19th, July 19th. Mm-hmm. We'll be finished with season three. It'll be out this fall.
Now, I know that you're going to have to keep things a little under wraps, and I'm, of course, not going to ask you to tell me any details, but is there anything that you can bait us with? Any sort of a preview that we can have of any kind?
I can. Two things. Mm-hmm. One, we're telling a story in season three that has never been told in the lens that we're telling it in on any medium, whether it's online or on television. Mm. And it's going to have people talking. And I am very proud of it. I've already watched the footage because mm-hmm. it was some of the first footage we shot back in May. And I was like, this is really going to get people to talk a lot because it's big.
And that's the trick.
And that's the truth, right? And second is, season three is really about, season two was kind of the cause and effect. Mm-hmm. There's a reaction to every choice we make, and now we're going to see how these people react to the decisions that they've made. And I think that people are going to find themselves really shocked by the actions committed by Remy and David. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But there's some major things happening in season three.
Well, I know that I'm looking forward to it very much so. I'm excited to see the show move to Reverie and to see it continue to develop, because it while I was watching season one, I was just sitting there and going, gosh, I can't wait for them to get supported by a network of some kind, you know, because I want to see more. I want you to have the opportunity to write more of this story, because it's fascinating. And it is a glimpse into a type of the gay experience that I'm not privy to entirely, coming just from a different background and a geographical location. You know, I live in Eastern Washington, but in my childhood grew up in Louisiana. Both these places quite different than, you know, Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so it is it's quite enjoyable to get to watch your series. Something that I was blown away by was the wardrobe. Is that everybody's personal wardrobe, or what's happening there? Because I was sitting and going, I need to know where they got it.
It's everyone's personal wardrobe.
Wow.
And it just, you know, I tell everyone knows that real life, I love clothes. I love fashion, style. So when we're talking with each character, I kind of say, hey, send me some pictures of what you have. And this is kind of what you should wear. This is what you should wear. And we just go from there. And the actress who plays Sydney, she plays Troy, mm-hmm. the assistant with Remy. her wardrobe is phenomenal, and it's going to be amazing mm-hmm. in season three. Her wardrobe is insane. I think both of our wardrobe is going
to
be insane.
I'm here for it because it already is looking good. For it to look better, I'm only more excited about. Another thing that we talk about on this show is with creativity and how that connects to spirituality. I'm wondering for you, in terms of when you are in a creative space, what does that feel like for you?
When I'm in a creative space, it's really like it's sort of like a 24/7 meditation point for me in terms of, that's sort of like my sweet spot. Mm-hmm. When I'm creating, writing, or even when we're shooting, because we shoot like 14, 15 hour days. Wow. when we're filming, no one feels tired because we're in that space. We're in that creative space. It's like a total zen for me. If you had to ask me, what is zen for me? Mm-hmm. Zen is creating. Zen is being on the set of scales or just creating or talking with other creators about other projects. It gives me, and then once it comes out, it's like you're in a way giving birth to something. And I tell people, scales is my baby. It's my baby. Like, I feel like I birthed it, nurtured it, and I'm very protective of scales.
Mm-hmm. And like a birth, it's kind of miraculous. And that's for me where in terms of creating, I paint and I do some drawing, but for me, I don't really know how to do it other than to find myself in that meditative state where it can just sort of flow through me. And that for me is how I experience that same zen that you're talking about. Let's go ahead and take just a quick break and we'll be right back and we'll come into our final section of the podcast. All right, listeners, we are back. We are here today with Patrick LaDonis, and we're having just a really, really great conversation about creating and his show Scales Online and the future of it. Patrick, a question that I really wanted to get into with you was, did you ever have any role models or mentors that helped you get to where you are today? If so, how'd they help?
Wow, I did. I had so many. I will just use the two, and I'll tell you why. I'd have to say my mom and my aunt Shirley. And I say this because I'm an only child, and even at as young as 6 years old, I was always creating these stories. I would write these stories and perform these stories, and my mom was always encouraging me to be. She's like, you do it, baby. Whatever you want to do, don't let anything stop you. And so that stayed in my head. And then my aunt Shirley, when we were in Chicago, because I was born in Chicago and then we moved, but I would always go back every summer. I would call in the telephone, in the yellow pages, I would call all these talent agencies and book these appointments. And my aunt literally would take me to some of these castings. And she was just like, if you have that heart and passion, I'm going to take you. And it wouldn't even matter that at the time, I think I was like 10 or 11 calling all these places. She always believed in me. And she says, I'm going to always believe in you because you light up. And if I can help keep your light bright, then so be it. And so those two influences kind of made me always feel like
capable.
I'm capable of anything I put my mind to. So
that is some of the most brilliant support I've ever heard of. How fortunate and goodness, how thankful I am for those women creating the confident man that I see here today, because that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Can you just talk a little bit about the local LGBT scene in your city, in your area? Is there much interest in our stories down there?
I think there is, but there's, of course, because someone asked me this a few weeks ago, and I said, there's always room for growth. I think we are a community that we're evolving. I feel collectively, I think the LGBTQ plus community in Atlanta is evolving, but I still think that there's still some disconnects and some areas of improvement. I think there needs to be even more of an ally with our trans men and women. We've got to do more. I feel like we've got to do more, and I don't see it as much in Atlanta, but I think that's an opportunity for us to really stand with them as well, because I think for us, or at least for me, you fall into this rut of, you know, LGBTQ, yeah, it you know, lesbians and gays, which that's our box, and we get a lot of the press or the publicity and things like that, but you don't really get the lens on the trans or the other communities as much. You just kind of loop them in, and I think they have a voice too. And I feel like we have to all collectively do better to bring awareness to them.
Have to widen the umbrella, have to hold the space for every letter of our, you know, our growing list to have their space equal, you know, and don't just stop after those first two letters.
Exactly.
I 100% agree on that, Patrick. Patrick, what we're going to do now is we're going to move into our final section of the podcast, a section I like to call Passions Lately.
Oh.
Quite simply, Patrick, what are you obsessed with lately? Is there a show, a book, music? What's got you passionate?
Sure. When it comes to a show, I'll say Little Fires Everywhere on Hulu and Love, Victor on Hulu. Those are things I'm passionate, because I didn't think that, you know, Love, Simon was amazing, the movie, but I didn't think Love, the spinoff was going to make a good TV show. But then I watched it and I binged watched it, and then I've been watching it again, and I was like, I'm obsessed with this. It was nice. Perfect. So those are the things I'm obsessing over. And of course, it's when it comes to music, Alina Baraz and Dua Lipa, Physical or Don't Stop Now, that's kind of in rotation in my head. I'm always jamming to that.
What was that first show you mentioned? That was the one I haven't heard of. I definitely know of La Victor.
Little Fires.
What was the first?
Little Fires Everywhere. It stars Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington.
Oh, wow. And it love those ladies.
It's amazing. It is 8 episodes of brilliant. It's just... Jeez, I mean, when you watch it, seriously, Aaron, you've got to let me know once you've seen it all, because it took my breath away. I mean, I have not seen anything like that in a very long time. And Reese Witherspoon is really smart. She's about to become one of my mentor persons. She in my head, she and Kerry Washington, because Little Fires Everywhere and The Morning Show that's on Apple TV with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, both brilliant pieces of television to cinema ever that's out.
Yeah, she's making quite a few moves here lately, Reese Witherspoon, in terms of producing her own content. And, you know, not really waiting around for people to offer her roles, but she's often at the races, you know, creating her own material. So I can definitely relate to why she would be a big motivation for you. Myself, something that I've been really passionate about lately, it's going to be so random, but pin collecting. I have really gotten into that. Just little pins, little bit of flair to add to my outfits, little pins. Yeah. What did it for me is I really enjoy RuPaul's Drag Race. And season 12, is that the season? Yeah, season 12 just ended of that. And the winner was a queen named Jada Essence Hall. And she's out of Minnesota, just a beautiful, Black, excellent queen. Made her own clothes and everything the whole time, just really polished. Well, I got one of her pins, like just one of her little designs that she created, and it has just set me on a fun little collection. Now putting together just like all the things I'm nostalgic for. So it has a lot of shows of things I grew up with or things that influenced me a lot. Here, I will show my age. You know, quite a few things are... it's like some Futurama, a little bit of SpongeBob, an old cartoon from the 90s called Kablam, which was like a animated comic book series, you know? so it's been nice to sort of like go back into my memory now that I'm collecting these pins and just think about, well, what are the things that I love, you know? It's been a nice trip down nostalgia for me that way.
Wow. Speaking of that, I love your shirt. Is that Prince?
Oh, yes. Yes. That is always Prince. This is not my only Prince t-shirt. He's my number one. If there was one individual whose work that I followed and the spirit that I would hope to carry on would be Prince's. I just think that he always stood in his own lane. He never really had doubt about his own lane. He was never involved in the drama. He was just there to, you know, make you want to dance and feel the music. I just, can't say enough about that man.
Wow, that's awesome. I have a Prince shirt. I would have worn my Prince shirt. I love Prince too. And he's a Gemini. I mean, I love Prince. Love Prince.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I have as visual as a format as a podcast is, I'm going to show you. But I have this tattoo, which is Janelle Monáe.
Yes.
But she's playing Prince's, you know, very well-known guitar.
That's an amazing tattoo. And then Janelle Monáe is an amazing artist. And, you know, she's from Atlanta.
Yes. Whenever you were talking about people who were creating in Atlanta, the first thing that came to my mind was Wonderland Records, you know, Big Boy and Janelle and Montreal and all of them. That was something that I followed for a very long time. Just very big fan of all of their work. Wow. You know, okay. They do some fantastic things. Now, Patrick, before we go, can you tell our listeners how they can keep up with you, how they can watch Scales, get in contact with you if they want to create with you?
Sure. Well, if you on Instagram, you can find me at I am Patrick LaDonis, all one word. I am Patrick LaDonis. And you can also find me on Twitter at Patrick LaDonis and Facebook, Patrick LaDonis. And the show Scales, you can find it on YouTube. Just type up Scales, the web series, and click that subscribe button. And like I said, on July 3rd, we'll be moving to Reverie, where you can find a lot of other amazing content at reverie.com. And you can follow the show at Scales, the web on Instagram as well.
I love it. You know, anytime I ask people to do what you just did, they rarely do it so well. that was excellent. And seriously, I cannot recommend listeners enough. Do yourself a favor and go watch Scales. One of the things that is so easy about it is the episodes are pretty short format. You know, they're all under 15 minutes, averaging probably about 11 to 12 minutes an episode. And just go do yourself a favor and watch it. It's so enjoyable.
Thank you, Aaron.
Of course. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Patrick. I feel only success coming your way. You know, you have a very strong perseverance, a wonderful energy. And like I said, I can't wait to see what the future of Scales is.
Well, I have to take this time too to give you a compliment because I've enjoyed talking with you and I feel like I've made a new friend and I feel like yes. The future is going to be me sitting on your purple couch, your purple chair or whatever, you interviewing me talking about stuff. I'm like, oh, Aaron, you remember when we was doing X, Y, Z? So I feel it.
You know what? I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that day. Like, that'll be the one.
Yes.
All right, Patrick, final question for the pod today.
Okay.
What is the most recent thing that's happened to you that has made you purely happy?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think. I have one that's probably going to be so cheesy, but I'm going to just go with it. But
we love cheesy.
You can't really see it, and it's very simple, but it's a little leather tie emblem, but it has my husband got this for us. They're matching bracelets. He has one, I have one. And it's so simple. And I didn't know that he was getting it. And he just like surprised me with it last week and was just like, here, babe, here you go. And it just made my day because I'm the person that likes to do surprises and gifts and also, and just this random thing. And he was like, we're going to keep them on. We can shower in them. It's fine. And I was like, what? And it's like, I look at it every morning. I'm like, yeah, it makes me happy. So
that is not cheesy at all. That's exactly what we're looking for from that question. Well, thank you so much for joining me on Eye to Eye today, Patrick LaDonis.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, listeners, for being here with us. Now go outside. We'll be here when you get back. This episode of Eye to Eye was edited by Dylan Newman and the theme song written and performed by Emily Easley. Make sure to rate and subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy podcasts today.